It is 8:29. You're listening to the Tuesday Morning After on CKUT 90.3 FM or on the web at www.ckut.ca. Should you ever wish to get involved with CKUT, CKUT is community radio, people's radio, people power. You can come in, you can learn how to tech, you can learn how to produce radio for CKUT. You can call the CKUT's Community News Collective to find out more about how to do that at 514-448-4041. We are here every Tuesday from 7 to 9. We had a bike report from Tom Osheko directly from the streets of Montreal. We also had the regular news feature of Democracy Now! Headlines, which are played every morning at 8 a.m. during the week, that is. Before that, we had a piece on the G8, and before that, we had IMEMC, the report, the weekly report from Palestine, from the International Media Center in the Middle East. Now we are going to go to turn to the subject of the fact that this week marks the 40th anniversary of the occupation of the West Bank and Gaza. In studio with me this morning is Dror from Tadoman, and he is a visiting professor from France. Dror, thank you very much for being with us this morning. How are you doing?
Thank you. I'm fine. Thanks.
Could you talk about what the significance is, first of all, for somebody who doesn't really know what happened in 1967 or for someone who doesn't really know what has happened since, except for maybe the fact that there's a war going on? What is the significance of this 40 years?
Well, yeah, it's a sad anniversary. Today it's all over in the news because it's been 40 days today that this war started. And well, after the 48 catastrophe, where half of Palestine was already occupied, well, the second half got occupied in 1967. So, as you were saying, the West Bank, the Gaza Strip, the Golan Heights, the situation got more complicated in Jerusalem, and a huge proportion of the Palestinian populations became almost a non-status population, living under military laws, military occupation, violence. It is a sad anniversary this week, and we were trying to we in Montreal, but it's an international week of commemoration all over the world. Particularly this weekend on the 9th, all over the world there are events trying to commemorate that, to make noise about it, rally people. And so we as Tadamon and other solidarity groups in Montreal are organizing a couple of events this week. Some have already started and some are still going on.
Great. One of the events which is going to be taking place, I see this Friday from 1 p.m. onwards, and actually towards Saturday, is a 24-hour info fair I see, and it's called 40 Years of Occupation and 59 Years of Apartheid. Could you explain that title a little bit for us?
I guess the 40 years of occupation is clear by now after what I said. 59 years of apartheid marks the fact that everything started in 1948, and if there's a debate on what should happen within the borders of 48, the borders of 67, this is all a diplomatic discussion. But what is known for fact is that it's been almost 60 years, then Palestinian Arabs living in Israel have a status that is not the same as Israeli citizens or Jewish Israeli citizens. So it's very similar to the apartheid state in South Africa, which is why we're using this word. I would like to stress that, for example, Desmond Tutu or Nelson Mandela, but particularly Desmond Tutu, when he visited Israel, came back and said, wow, it really reminds me of South Africa and the apartheid state. So we could call it 59 years of occupation, but at least the thing we want to stress out is it's 59 years of apartheid. And I could even be a little more specific. There's at least three citizen status in this region, whether you're Israeli Jew in the Israeli international borders, whether you're an Arab Israeli in the same borders. And the worst condition is if you're a Palestinian in the occupied territories. There you hardly have... Well, I can't say you have no rights, but you hardly have a citizenship. And the law you're under is a military law. It's not even a civil law. And so it's in some ways, it's even worse than the apartheid state. And that's what we're trying to denounce.
Right. With the analogy of South Africa, South Africa underwent apartheid for over 50 years, lived under an apartheid regime, and it fell in part, at least, because of international solidarity and campaigns and so on. Are the people who are behind this organizing of the campaign of the boycott, divestments, and sanctions towards the state of Israel, are they hopeful of the same outcome? And what are the indications that this might possibly be the case?
Exactly. You're absolutely right. That's exactly the point. This BDS, boycott, divest, and sanction, divestment and sanction campaign, is exactly aiming at achieving the same result as the South African solidarity, or solidarity with at least the black people in South Africa, achieved in the late 80s, early 90s. It is a general international boycott campaign launched or called upon by the Palestinian civil society. It is followed by solidarity groups all over the world, and it takes various forms depending on different countries or different occasions. We can talk about what's happening in Montreal, for example. It is based on maybe on a couple of reasons. It's a matter of principle, first, of as it was with South Africa, of non-collaborating with a criminal state. But you're right, it also aims at putting pressure on the government, both on the Israeli government or on the Israeli economics. For example, if you stop buying Israeli goods, they may think twice about some of their actions. But also to put pressure on our own governments, wherever we are, in Canada, France, the US, everywhere, because of course there will. And I think that's also what happened with South Africa. This is a first step, and there will probably be diplomatic steps after this one. But in order for this to happen, it's good to put pressure on the government. What are the chances? Well, it depends on how the solidarity works throughout the world. First of all, it was a call from the Palestinian Society, which took some time to raise a consensus, because it is hard when you're a country, even when you're occupied in a country, to call for other people to boycott. Okay, maybe it's not your country, but the territory where you live on, because you're gonna lose from it as well.
Right.
But they made this choice, and now it's a general demand from Palestinians. Now, whether the Western world is going to follow, I hope so. From what I see in Montreal, at least. Many people don't know about this boycott. That's why I'm happy to be able to speak about it today. But as soon as we talk about it, people understand really, really easily.
Yeah. One of the actions which are taking place this week, I believe, is taking place today, and that is specifically to do with a boycott, and it's a cultural boycott. Could you talk about that action, which is going to take place today, first of all?
Sure. But maybe let me point out that maybe one thing that people understand better is the economic boycott. For example, on Saturday, we had a big picket in front of the Indigo bookstore.
Right.
Because not only Indigo has, sells books from Israel or buys books from Israel, that's not the point. It's that it has ties with the Israeli army. They have a fund called Hesseg, which funds people from all over the world who want to join the Israeli army. And I mean, this is terrible. And people understand quite clearly that if you stop buying books from Indigo, the owners may think twice about funding this kind of military support. So this is pretty clear, and people understand it quite well. Now, you're talking about the cultural boycott, and this is something that's sometimes a little harder to explain to people. Because, yes, indeed, this week there is Israeli Film Festival taking place at Cinéma du Parc.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I think it's really cynical and shocking that this festival happens exactly the week of commemoration of mourning, of commemoration of those 40 years of occupation, of the war that started it all in 1967. And it's probably not a coincidence. It's probably meant to divert the attention and try to give a flowery, a nice image of Israel and culture. It's also a cultural event that is supposed to reflect the Israeli culture, and which is funded by the Israeli consulate, which is supported by Zionist organizations, and. As such, it falls exactly in the cultural events that the Palestinians ask us to boycott. It has several consequences, but one of them is that And no Palestinian artist and not even Israeli progressive artist will be invited to such a festival, or if they are, they will decline such an invitation. So this kind of festival will necessarily be a biased, one-sided, pro-Zionist festival. So that makes it all more necessary to boycott it. So, well, we were calling people not to go to this film festival, and we're also calling the Cinéma du Parc to boycott this festival or to stop screening it, at least maybe for the next couple of years. Tonight specifically, this festival has started on Sunday and it's taking the whole week, I think, or at least until Friday. And tonight we're going to have a picket there from like 7 to 9 or 9:30, and we're going to wait for darkness to show an alternative festival. We're going to screen some Palestinian movies as symbolically in front of the cinema to show that there's a another culture that is totally denied by this festival, that is totally silenced during this festival.
Right. It doesn't seem surprising that there is like an Israeli film festival happening in Montreal. It seems like the ties between the state of Canada and the state of Israel are getting stronger. I was wondering if you could comment on that.
Yeah, well, first of all, just because you say it doesn't seem surprising, it makes me think that last night I heard an interview of the organizer of the festival on Radio-Canada, and he was very proud that the first time that he had this festival, it wasn't in Montreal, it was in Paris, was in the year 2000 when the first Intifada broke out. And he was so happy that at the time, the festival showed a positive image of Israel in this dark period. And that's exactly what he's probably trying to do this week as well. So again, there's also a symbolic aspect to this festival, and hence also to our boycott. Now, for ties with Canada and Israel, or more generally with the Western world and Israel, I mean, yes, obviously, one reason it's important for us in those Western countries to have a strong boycott is to show that it's not the whole Western world that is backing up Israel. But of course, there's also, you could have an imperialist reading of the situation in Israel or in the Middle East, where Israel is kind of the representative of the capitalist countries, where it carries the same kind of economic culture, and we Western countries have chosen this country to be our kind of a porte-parole in the Middle East. So the ties are political, but they're mostly economic. And that's the small leeway we have to put pressure. If it's economic and it doesn't seem that good anymore, there is a chance to make government change their support, or at least lessen them.
Right. What else? What other actions are taking place this week, if you could announce to our listeners?
Sure. So I'm going to try to recap. There was the Indigo picket on Saturday. There's this tonight in front of Cinéma du Parc. There's this boycott of the Israeli Film Festival, and then tomorrow the 6th, there's a dinner happening at the Queen Elizabeth Hotel, hosting people from the FNJ, Fonds National Juif, which is a charity, or at least it's been declared a charity in the Canadian law. So if you give money to the FNJ, you don't pay taxes on this, or you get tax cuts. And the FNJ is an association that subsidize, for example, land or construction in Israel, but only to Jewish people. And even the Supreme Court of Israel has judged this procedure illegal and racist, but Canada keeps deciding that this organization deserves the charity status. So there's going to be a picket also in front of the Queen Elizabeth Hotel to protest against this. And finally, as you were mentioning, on the big day is June 9, but it's going to start here in Montreal with June 8, and it's going to be an all-night picket on Dorchester Square on the 8th with information tables. One of our goals is public information and public education, and so there's going to be information table, film screenings. I'm representing Tadamon, but there are many organizations around this week. There's CGPP, Coalition pour Justice et Paix en Palestine. There's CAIA Montreal, Coalition Against Israeli apartheid. And each of these organizations will have, there's PAJU, several others, and they're all going to have tables and information and their own explanation of what's going on. And this is going to be ended by June 9 with a big demonstration in Montreal, starting also in Dorchester Square. And this is going to be synchronized with an action all over the world. I mean, every big major city in the world has an event and a demonstration on June 9, and I hope we hear about it.
You're listening to the Tuesday Morning After here on CKUT 90.3 FM. It is 8:44 in studio with us. We've been speaking with Drouhir from Tadamon, Montreal, about the week of events taking place in commemoration of the 40th anniversary of the occupation of the West Bank and Gaza. Drouhir, is there anything else that you'd like to add this morning on the subject?
Well, not particularly on this week, but it's good that we have this week because it's a week of action, because it's an important time today. But Tadamon and these other groups are collectives that work all year round, and it's been a couple of years already. So if you want to know more about it, you can check out our website, tadamon.resist.ca. So Tadamon is T-A-D-A-M-O-N .resist.ca. It's Tadamon means solidarity in Arab. And if you check the website, you'll also see that there are other events scheduled for the summer and later. So keep it posted.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning.
You're welcome. Thanks.